to God. Hallelujah. You can remain standing if you would like to. And as you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, I want to share before I begin preaching, we got something to celebrate today. We have a first-time daddy. Matter of fact, this is his first service as an official dad. And I don't know how in the world they had this beautiful baby. I think the baby must have got all the looks from the mother. no, I'm kidding, John. But Josh, man, we're so happy for you. Congratulations on your beautiful baby girl. Lindley Ryan Brown, it's a picture of her there. 7 pounds and 6 ounces. And guess what? Your life will never be the same. And that's a good thing. Amen. Let's give Josh and Taylor our congratulations this morning. That baby kept me up all night. Amen. That's all right. She was worth it to be born and to see her beautiful face. And congratulations, Josh and Taylor. And pray for Taylor, too, as she recovers from her delivery. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16. How many is believing in 2018 to be the year of God's favor and a year of breakthrough for you and for your family and for your future, 2018? How many believe this is the year of the blessings and the favor of God? It's coming, amen? How many is expecting, anticipating God to do something you've been praying and asking Him for? And I'm believing that from this day forward, we're going to put what happened last year behind and even yesterday behind. But today's a new day. This is a new year with a new opportunity. And God, through His word, I believe, is wanting to encourage us and wanting us to see that things are going to be different from this day forward. And I believe that, and I declare that in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, your breakthrough is on the way. Your miracle is on the way. Don't give up. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We have the story here of David being anointed by God when the prophet Samuel was sent to his house. I want to look at just one verse and read one verse of scripture as my text. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. And here's what the Bible says. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, speaking of David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Somebody say, from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And for just a few moments this morning, as the Holy Ghost enables me to speak this word, I want to preach to you on the thought from this day forward. This was in David's life a monumental time where from that day forward his life would never be the same. And the Spirit of God, as I begin asking and seeking the Lord about this service, and the Lord led me to this passage, and that word from this day forward just jumped out of the page. And I believe I've got a word from the Lord from somebody today that from this day forward, I declare in Jesus' name, things are going to change and things are not going to be the same in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody give God glory if you believe from this day forward. It's a new day. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated if you can. Glory to God. I'm feeling this today. God is doing something. I don't know if you can sense what I sense and feel what I feel. But let me tell you, God is up to something. The Lord is doing something. He wants us to know that from this day forward, we have been anointed for kingdom work.
And from this day forward, I'm serving a notice on the devil that in 2018, that we are going to march forward and we're going to take back everything the devil stole. And when he is found, he's got to return sevenfold in the name of Jesus. From this day forward. As I look at this story and this message God gave me today, and I look at the life of David and how from that day forward the Spirit of God came upon him, his life would never be the same. Samuel had been instructed of the Lord to go to Jesse's house. The Lord said, I have provided in among Jesse's household the next king of Israel. Samuel did not know who it was. All he knew was that Jesse had some boys. He didn't know which one of the boys God had chose, but by faith, he took the horn of oil and took off to Jesse's house. David, in all honesty, looking at it from the natural perspective, was probably the least likely candidate. He was the youngest. He was the smallest. He was the weakest. Eliab was probably the obvious choice. Matter of fact, the prophet, first of all, thought when he looked at Eliab, David's oldest brother, that this has to be the one. Look at his size, look at his appearance, and look at his stature. You know what? A lot of times, we judge based on outward appearance, but how many knows that God looks on the heart? The prophet said, surely this is the Lord's anointed one. But it was then and there God revealed to him this biblical concept that runs throughout Scripture and is so true today in our generation. When God spoke to him and said, don't look at his outward appearance, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. There's some of you in this room today, you may feel unqualified. You may feel unworthy. You may feel like God could never use me, or how I have nothing to offer. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not wise enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. But may I tell you today, God doesn't look at things like we do, that God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the mighty things. And God uses foolish things to confound the things that are wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I was 15 years old when God called me to the ministry. Somebody asked me just last night, said, do you believe in women preachers, that God can use a woman? I said, I sure do. I'm the product of one, because God used a female evangelist when I was 15 years old, an older lady who was preaching a revival, and God used her to speak over my life and confirm some things in my heart. But when I surrendered to the call to preach at 15, the enemy tried to intimidate me that I was just too young and too unqualified, and I had a stuttering problem. I had a lot of insecurities. But God had called me, and I knew he had called me, and I'll never forget back when I was, preaching before I could even drive. In order to go preach a service somewhere, I either had to get mom and dad to take me or one of my friends, because I wasn't even old enough to drive a car. And I remember I was asked to come preach at the Hughes Church of God outside of Forest City, Arkansas. And I went that Sunday morning to preach, and my buddy Donnie, who was a senior in high school, drove me around and would take me to different preaching plate engagements, and he drove me there to preach, and I came into the church. I sat on the front row about right over here, and Sister Corley, who was the pastor's wife, she didn't know me from Adam, didn't know who I was, and I didn't know her. I'd never met her, but she was teaching Sunday school, and it just so happened to be on David and Goliath, and she looked over and saw me there. She said, "This kid right here on the front row, stand up, son." She said, "That's probably about what David looked like when Samuel went to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king over Israel. Probably a little kid about like that right there." She had no idea that I was going to be the one preaching that morning service. When I began pastoring, and at an early age, I was in my real early 20s, but I looked like I was a teenager, and I will never forget, I was pastoring in Russellville, Arkansas, and I heard a knock on the door, and I opened the door. It was the Avon lady, and the first thing she asked me, she said, "Is your mama home?" I was there in the parsonage. She was asking for my mother, and I didn't even want to explain to her, you know, who I was, and I'm the pastor, and I'm so such and such age. I just said, "No, she's not here." Amen. But you know what I realized? God often uses those that feel unqualified. Understand this. God knows your possibilities and God knows your potential. And the devil would like for you to believe that you have nothing to give and nothing to offer God. But hear your pastor today. When God chooses to use somebody, he doesn't need my permission or your permission or the world's permission. He anoints who he wants and he raises up who he desires. When Jeremiah was called by God and anointed to serve him as a prophet, Jeremiah said, "Lord, I can't do it. I'm just too young. I don't know what I'm unqualified. Lord, I'm just a child." But the Lord told Jeremiah, "Don't say you're just a child. You will go wherever I send you. I'm going to put my words in your mouth," hallelujah, "and you will speak what I give you to speak." He said, "Jeremiah, I will hasten my word to perform it." He said, "Son, before you even came forth from the womb, I sanctified you and I chose you to be a prophet unto the nations." I see throughout scripture, God likes to use those that others have rejected, those that felt like they would never amount to anything. God would raise them up, and with the Spirit of God, with the touch of the anointing of the Lord, he would sanctify them and separate them and call them to do his divine work. God took a plowboy named Elisha and made him a prophet. God took a shepherd boy named David and made him a king. God took a captive named Daniel and made him a prayer warrior. God took a fisherman named Peter and made him a fisher of men. God took a murderer named Saul and made him a preacher to the Gentiles. What are you saying? I'm telling you this morning that God uses despised things, things the world has rejected, that the proud God will humble, but the humble God will exalt to honor. Hallelujah. Humble yourself under the sight of God, and he will use you and raise you up for his glory. Somebody give him glory in the house. Jesse paraded all of his boys in front of the prophet, and the Lord said, "None of these is whom I've chosen." And so the prophet said, "Are these all your kids? Are these all your sons?" And Jesse said, "No, actually there's one left, but I didn't even take time to call him out of the field." Because, you know, Jesse, his own daddy, didn't even consider that David could be one of the ones. He said, "He's out in the field. He's the youngest. He's tending to the sheep." The prophet said, "Bring him inside." And when the prophet of God took one look at him, that God spoke and said, "That is him. He's the chosen one. Anoint him to be my king." Hallelujah. And when that day forward he was anointed, it probably didn't go over too well with this immediate family. Eliab especially, I think Eliab was a little jealous. over David's anointing, because when David asked the question after Goliath had challenged the army of Israel, David asked in the next chapter, in the 26th verse, what will be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Eliab, the Bible says in the 28th verse, his anger was aroused against David, and he was saying, boy, what are you doing here anyway? You don't even belong out here on this battlefield. What about those few sheep, the few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? David, or Eliab, was jealous and demeaning to David. And hear me this morning, I don't know who this is for, but understand this, when you are anointed by God and God places his hand on your life, the devil will always see to it that there will be critics that will try to discourage you. Even some, sadly, among your own family, the devil will try to use to discourage you. But don't let the naysayers say it can't be done. Don't let the wet blankets put the fire out. If God has chosen you, when you surrender to him and he places his hand upon your life, you be bold. You look the world and you look at the devil face to face and square your shoulders and you declare, I am God's anointed, and greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. The anointing that David was covered with was symbolic of the Holy Ghost that would come upon him, enabling him to carry out the responsibility to be king over Israel. How many believe that we still need the anointing of God to do the work of God? Let me take it a step further. We need the anointing of God to live for God. I don't know about you, but I'm still dependent on the Holy Ghost and his anointing and his touch. Sister Lennon was telling me yesterday with Brother Stewart, before he became bedfast, nurse would walk in or people would walk in, and you know what he'd ask them when they walked through the door? Have you got the Holy Ghost? Well, if you don't, you need him. You got the Holy Ghost? I read where Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And thank God when we are born again, we are born of the Spirit, and the Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. But I'm glad to know, hallelujah, that God also will not only come to dwell within, but he will also come if we will allow him to fill us, to submerge us, to baptize us. Anybody still believe that we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit? That this baptism is real and the promise is for everybody. Peter said, unto your children, unto your children's children, unto all that are far off, unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. And when David was anointed by God in the Old Testament, we see it was symbolic of the Holy Ghost that would cover him, enabling him to carry forth the work that God had called him to do. The psalmist described it like this in Psalm 132:2, speaking of God's anointing, that it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down onto the skirts of his garment. In other words, it is a complete covering, a complete saturation of that holy touch, that holy anointing. I read where John the Baptist spoke about it in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, when he said, I indeed submerge you in water, I baptize you in water unto repentance. But he said, there is coming one after me who's mightier than I am, and I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And when he comes, he will submerge you, he will dunk you, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me today. today, as we now are in the New Testament age since Pentecost, the anointing is no longer an outward manifest symbolism of the pouring on of oil. It is the inward infilling of God the Holy Ghost. And just like in the Old Testament, that anointing would cover you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, this New Testament experience of the Holy Ghost that John the Baptist spoke about, it will completely cover you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Anybody want to be saturated with this presence? Anybody want to be completely covered with the Holy Spirit from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? God, we need it today. We need your presence like never before. God, fill us from the very top to the very bottom. You know why we need that? Because the devil, we see him doing today, just like he did in David's life. When David was anointed, the devil always shows up. And I want to tell you something, it's no surprise to you, but in 2018, the devil, I believe, has unleashed his final attack and his most deadly assault against every believer, every church, every Christian in the world today. These are perilous times that you are living in, and the devil is not playing patty cake. I'm here to tell you the devil has declared war, and if we are going to withstand the forces of hell, it still takes the Holy Ghost and his anointing and the power of God. I know this may sound old-fashioned, but label me old-fashioned if you want. That's okay with me. I'm here to tell you it still takes the help and the aid of Almighty God and the anointing of his Spirit. As Zechariah tells us, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I'm here to tell the Grenada Church of God, in this 21st century, we still need the Holy Ghost and his anointing to make it in the world today. The devil wants us to be afraid. He wants us to hide in fear. He wants us to be intimidated. He wants to push you around. He wants to bully you. He wants you to think he's controlling the shots. And I read, when the Philistine came against the army of Israel in the next chapter, they were afraid. They were fearful. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 17, that all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. I've never seen fear grip the hearts and lives of people like I have in the days in which we live. Fear is tormenting so many. Fear that of the things that come, fear of even getting of walking out on the street without getting shot at or something happening to us. So God, help us today to realize God has not given us a spirit of fear. They were afraid and they ran. The devil wants you to run in fear, but God wants us to charge in faith. Instead of running away, we run too. The devil wants you to think, you know what, I've got the ball, and it's my court, and I call the shots. But I'm here to tell you, don't, according to what this book says, if I live according to what God says, I'm on the winning side. If I believe what this book says, I know today that I'm more powerful, that the authority of God has been given to me to tread on serpents and scorpions, upon all the power of the enemy. And Jesus said, not somebody said, not the preacher said, not so-and-so said, but Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. These signs will still follow those that believe in my name. You'll take up serpents, you'll cast out devils, you'll perform miracles and wonders in my name, and nothing can stop you. heard true story. Some of you Alabama fans will really like this one. Amen. Finally got a hallelujah on this front row over here. Anybody remember old Coach Bear Bryant? Probably one of the best coaches that ever coached at a college level or any level. Years ago, he was coaching, of course, the University of Alabama's football team. In a particular game, true story, the Crimson Tide were ahead by about 6 points. And the game with less than 2 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, they had it in the red zone. And Coach Bryant sent his quarterback into the game. He said, I just want you to go in, play it safe. Let's run the time off the clock. And we're going to leave here with a victory. But when he left the coach and walked out on the field, he got to thinking about something he'd rather do. And so in the huddle, the quarterback said, you know what? Coach said for us just to play it safe. But that's what they're going to be expecting too, this other team. He said, so let's give them a surprise. And so what he did, he called a pass play. And when he hiked the ball, he dropped back, the quarterback threw the pass. And the defending cornerback who was guarding the receiver, who was a champion sprinter, guess what happened? He intercepted the ball near the end zone and headed back nearly 100 yards toward the other end of the field to score the winning touchdown. And the quarterback, who wasn't known to be a good runner, you know what he did? He took off as fast as he could after that cornerback and ran him down from behind and tackled him on the 5-yard line. And his effort saved the game. And after the game was over, the clock ran out, the opposing coach approached Bear Bryant and said, what's this business about your quarterback not being a runner? He just ran down the fastest player on my team. And to that, Bryant responded, well, it's like this. Your man was running for 6 points. He said, my man was running for his life. You know what? When I read this story and I see this giant Philistine defying the armies of God and imitating Israel, and all these men, all these even trained soldiers were running in fear. They were afraid of the enemy. And you know what? The Lord spoke to me. We have been playing defense long enough. We've allowed the devil to carry the ball long enough. We have bought into the lying, deceiving words of the enemy that says, I'm in control, and you're just going to have to sit back and watch me wreak havoc. I've said it already, and I'm going to say it again. I have come today on this particular day, Sunday, January the 7th, 2018, to declare the war on the enemy, to draw the spiritual line in the sand and tell the devil we are taking the ball back. We're on the winning team, and we're going to take the ball, and we're going to run with it, and we're going to march forward, and we will not shrink in fear. We'll not let the devil intimidate us any longer. We are victorious and more than a conqueror. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody give him a praise. When everybody was running away, David said in chapter 17, verse 29, he said, look what's going on here. We got to do something. We just can't let this happen. We can't let the enemy call the shots any longer. He said, is there not a cause? I want to ask the question. question today. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for us to just look around? Let's see what the enemy is trying to do. Let's see what he's attempting to do in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhood. Is there not a reason? David said, listen, we just can't sit back. We just can't allow the devil to have a heyday. We got to do something. Can't you see the enemy is openly defying God and his army? And I'm here to tell you today, and I'm here to sound the alarm. It's time we do. Is there not a cause? Wake up. Realize the times and season we're in. See what the devil's doing. And it's time somebody say, enough is enough. It's time somebody in this house say, enough is enough. It's time some daddy says, enough is enough. It's time some mama says, enough is enough. Devil, you're going to do this to my family no longer. It's time some believers stand up in the workplace and say, enough is enough. Amen. It's time a teenager will stand up in their school and say, enough is enough. And I'm at that point today. I'm here to tell you we've seen what the enemy's doing and trying to do, and it's time we say enough is enough. Is there not a cause? It's a sad day when drugs and alcohol is ruining this generation. And we watch what's happening. We see what the devil's doing. It's a sad day in America when our children can no longer pray in the classroom, but they can buy drugs any day of the week. God help us. Is there not a cause? When a child, before they can receive a Tylenol, has to get permission from the parent. When the teacher has to call a parent to give that permission for that child to get medicine, but that same child can be driven to an abortion clinic and have a full-blown abortion without parental consent, something is wrong with this picture. They've taken the Bibles out of their classrooms and had to replace them with metal detectors. Now something is wrong. Oh, when 4,000 unborn children are ripped from their mother's womb and killed, God help us today, something is wrong. It's time we get angry and cry out against the sins of our day and take the sword of the Spirit, just like David took his trusty slingshot, and go to war against the enemy and tell the devil, you can't have my classroom. You can't have our schools or our church members. You can't have my job or my home or my community. You can't have Grenada, Mississippi. As long as we are here, we are going to move forward. The kingdom of heaven suffering violence, but the violence taken by force. How many is ready to take back what the devil's stolen in the name of Jesus? I bring this to a close. Ashley, if you'll help me. I want you to see this in chapter 17, verse 50 and 51. God showed me this not long ago. And I probably preached from this story and this passage numerous times. And every time I read it, God shows me something maybe I haven't ever seen, and something in a new light and fashion. But the Bible says in verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed it and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. David, after he had struck that Philistine and the giant fell, there was no sword in the hand of David. David, you know what he was relying upon? The Spirit and his anointing.
How many believe our battle is not against flesh and blood? Anybody believe the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? And so that weapon that Goliath had taunted Israel with was used by David to cut off his head. The very weapon he used to attack the people of God was turned against and used on him. You know what this sword represents? It represents two things. First of all, in the hand of Goliath, it represents that which Satan is using to try to destroy you. The Bible says a thief comes in John 10 to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And in the hand of Goliath, it's a deadly weapon. In the hand of Goliath, it's used to bring about a lot of destruction and a lot of harm and hurt. And that sword represents whatever it is, whatever tactic, whatever plan of the enemy that Satan is using and trying to use to destroy you. Listen to me, the devil wants to take you out. He hates you today. He's not your friend, amen? He's your sworn enemy, be your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil has an arsenal, a bag of tricks that he's using to destroy your life, your marriage, your home, your family, your future. And that's what that sword represents in the hand of Goliath. But I read in this story, the last thing I shared with you is that sword swapped hands. And that sword that the enemy, that Goliath had used to destroy and to kill and to provoke fear and hurt and harm, when it went from his hands to David's hands, you know what it represented then? That the very thing the devil tried to use and design and launched did not work. It's a testimony that no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. It's a testimony. If God be for you, who can be against you? And David's hand, in that sword in his hand, was a testimony that whatever the devil designed and launched against me is not going to happen and not going to prosper. And it is used as a testimony to say what the devil meant for bad, God turned it around for the good. And whatever the devil's doing to come against me, the Bible says your enemy will come at you one way, but will flee before you seven ways. It's time we realize as a child of God, we don't have to allow the devil to devour, destroy, to kill. But as a child of God, the very thing the devil's trying to use to destroy you, God is telling you he's going to use it right now as your testimony to say what you meant for evil, God made it good. Somebody give him a praise in this house. This day forward, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you today. Say, God, I'm asking you in this place to touch my life in such a way that that from this day forward, I'm going to believe and as the anointed of God, that nothing the devil forms against me or brings against me any longer is going to work. Tell you something, the devil has sent some giants on your property to destroy you. The devil has sent enemies to come against you. There's enemies that have risen up that's trying to stop you, and you need God's touch, you need his spirit, you need his anointing to defeat the spiritual giants in your life.
I'm talking about giants of fear, giants of addiction. There's giants of oppression, giants of insecurity. The devil is using those giants to try to stop you. But I've got a word from the Lord this morning. God says, I will anoint you. I will empower you, and the giant will fall. And the giant will fall. I said, and the giant will fall, and you will prevail. Victory is yours in 2018. And from this day forward, you're going to walk in the victory that I have provided. I want you to stand with me. If you receive that, would you lift up your hands right now to God? And just receive it now. Receive that word now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There are some giants that will only fall with the anointing and the help of God in your life. There's some bondages that can only be broken by the intervention of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 10 and 27? It'll come to pass in that day the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That yoke, whatever it is the devil's using to try to bind you and hold you back, I declare, hallelujah, I feel this in my spirit this morning, that by the anointing, that yoke is not just broken. When you break something, usually you can put it back together. But the Bible doesn't say it breaks the yoke. It says it destroys the yoke. In other words, it'll never cease again, and the devil can never use it against you anymore. It's destroyed. It's destroyed. And I plead the blood of Jesus over you now. And I tell the devil in the name of Jesus, your plan that you have launched against him is destroyed. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to use that anymore to keep them in bondage, to hold them back, to strip them up. I speak against those giants that the devil would use. And I declare by the anointing of God, you're going to fall forever. And you're going to be completely destroyed in Jesus' name. Who's ready with your pastor to serve notice on the enemy today? And declare from this day forward, I'm going to walk in victory and power by the anointing and by the Spirit of God. If you'll join with me in that declaration, I want you to step out from where you are and join me. And let's press in as close up front as we can. In the name of Jesus, 2018, we're taking it back. I said we're taking it back. We're not going to sit on the sidelines any longer. We're taking it back. I said we're taking it back in the name of Jesus. Come on. Join me right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray over every family. I pray over every home, over every believer in this altar right now. Lord, I speak your word over their life. Satan, we bind every attempt, every design, every tactic that you have tried to put together to bring them down. Every giant you have sinned against them to try to cause them to run or try to cause them to shrink back in fear, you will not prevail any longer. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We are covered, we are surrounded, we are kept by the power and by the anointing of God. And from this day forward, we're going to march and we're going to win and we're going to prevail by the help and by the anointing of the Spirit of God. 2,000 years ago at Calvary, Satan's power was completely broken. Where there Jesus pulled principalities and powers and made a show them openly, triumphant over them, and his victory is your victory. I feel the Spirit of the Lord telling me to remind everybody in this room that you are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The devil can't cross the bloodline. He despises the blood. He hates the blood. But I'm here to declare today, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I said the blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Plead the blood of Jesus over your babies. Plead the blood of Jesus over your husband, your wife, your family, your children right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You're not overcome, you are an overcomer. More than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Lord, we receive it now. We receive it now. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands as we pray for a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Some of you need a refilling. Some of you need to be baptized for the first time in the Holy Ghost. You've not received this wonderful gift of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit baptism, the promise of the Father. I want you to lift your hands and ask God to fill you or refill you now and receive the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. This baptism of fire that John the Baptist spoke about. Jesus, I'm asking you right now to baptize everyone in the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, God, saturate them, empower them, fill them with your Spirit, oh God, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as your Spirit gives them the ability to speak. Oh Lord, grant it now, I pray in the name of Jesus. Receive now. Come on, receive that fresh refilling, that fresh, you need it. You need it before you step out of them double doors. Listen, you need this infilling. You need this baptism. You need this power from on high. Stand against the forces of hell. My Lord, I pray, let your power fall now on your people. Power to withstand, power to overcome, power to take on the devil in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Precious Redeemer, precious Savior, hallelujah. Come on, saints, let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him for a little longer. Come on, let's just tarry in His presence. Hallelujah. We talk about wanting more of His presence and more of His power. Well, now's the chance. We're here, He's here. Let's receive what He wants to do in our hearts right now. Lord, we worship you and we honor you, Lord, and we surrender all to you now, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name. In your mighty name. In your mighty name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you, if you feel impressed, begin to pray for that person next to you. Won't you just, can we just spend a little time in praying for one another and encouraging one another with our prayers? Amen. Would you just maybe place your hands on that shoulder, that one next to you, if you are comfortable doing so, and just ask God to touch them. Ask God to help them. Would you call their name out before God? Call their family out before the Lord today. Would you pray over their